Well, last week we began out of the book of Philemon. I like the way Brad says it. How do you say it, Brad? Philemon. Philemon. Oh, there you go. Philemon. If you've got your Bibles, I mean, I encourage you to turn there. It's not a big book. It's easily can be missed. But I want us to dive into it. It's going to lead us into Easter and what Christ has done for us. In the back of your bulletins, there is no outline. Trying something a little bit new here in the sense of giving it to you, having you write down what's important to you in that. And one of the biggest things is what can be learned about forgiveness and reconciliation as we look at this book. Such a powerful message for each one of us as we walk through life, as we walk through our marriages, as we work with business people, and as we operate as a church body. So much for us to learn. A good number of years ago, I was deeply hurt by a couple of fellow believers. Long, long time ago. There was slander. There were lies. And eventually, my job came to an end due to these fellow believers. For months after the effect of the situation, it lingered on in my heart, in my life. I would replay conversations I had with these fellow believers in my mind, thinking of what could I have said or what should I have done differently, or what should I have said? And every time their face and name was mentioned, my heart rate would increase, and my stomach would churn. Have you ever been there? One day I found myself sitting down with my counselor, and he asked me this big question. Have you forgiven them? Have you forgiven them? Since they never asked for forgiveness, and most likely never will, what my counselor was really asking me was, would I be willing to forgive them if they did ask? I thought about that question. Am I really ready to forgive? And I thought so. And I guess, well, I'll never see them again. So that makes it even easier. Well, then it happened. Fast forward about 23 years plus. I'm working with the church body as a transitional pastor. And I was asked to do a funeral of an elderly lady who passed away. And I was working and dealing with her daughter. And then the day of the funeral, as the family started coming so they could be seated for the service, who, to my surprise, arrives as a family member are these fellow believers. And my heart increased. And my heart rate increased and my stomach started turning. And I'm ready to do this service, and there they are sitting in front of me, and my mind's going like crazy. And this is what happens if you've ever had to give a message, and you watch the crowd, and you see people, things start moving in your head, and you're trying to stay focused. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, "Have you forgiven them?" I could have done nothing. I did the funeral. They would have walked out. I could have played the odds that I would never see them again. But something compelled me to go to them after the service and at the gravesite and say to them, "It's great seeing you," and give them a hug and truly mean it. Because the Lord was saying, "Todd, have you forgiven them?" That's something that compelled me, was the grace of God. And as we spoke with a smile on my face, I sincerely meant everything I said as I wished them well. They never did ask for forgiveness. But if they had, I know I would have, in a heartbeat, extended it to them if they asked for it. Through that experience, God taught me about the power of forgiveness. That a forgiving heart can heal 100 times faster than a heart who takes into account wrong suffered. What about you? That's my story, but what about you? Your stories are different, but there is a common denominator, and it is forgiveness. And if you don't have something to forgive at the present time, you soon will. C.S. Lewis once said this: "Everyone thinks forgiveness is a lovely idea until he or she has something to forgive." Are you ready to forgive when the time comes? In this small book, only consisting of 25 verses, we saw last week the intro. The writer is Paul, and he's in prison at Rome. The recipient is Philemon, who is the owner of many slaves. And one of his slaves was Onesimus. And he had stolen from him. And he ran to Rome to get away. And in that journey, he met Paul. And Paul had the opportunity to lead him to the Lord. And now Paul sends him back to Philemon. And he sends him with a letter asking Philemon to receive Onesimus back and forgive him. And one of the things we saw last week was Philemon had the right to actually put him to death. During that time, in this time, there were many slaves. And if you stole and you were caught, you were put to death often. And what they would do is they would get a red-hot iron going with an L on it, and they would brand that on your forehead if they didn't put you to death. And so you walked around permanently with an L on your forehead if you was not crucified, because the Romans were good at that. Now, what he was asking Philemon to do was powerful. He was asking Philemon to forgive him. You see, Onesimus had done his part. And he could have ran away again and not returned home, even though Paul gave him this letter. But he was a new creation in Christ. He was seeking to be forgiven by the one he had hurt. Think about that. this morning. How would you have handled this? Would you forgive or would you withhold forgiveness based on the facts of what this servant did to you? John MacArthur writes this. We live obliviously in our society that knows little about forgiveness. We live in a society that cares little about forgiveness. In fact, I would think that one of the major contributions, if not the major contributor to the destruction of relationships in our culture is the absence of forgiveness. This morning, as we dive into God's Word, I want us to see what makes up a forgiving heart. What does a forgiver's heart look like? It's given to us. So if you have your Bibles or if you have your phones and app, please turn with me to this because we want to start out in verse 5. And we're going to take it straight. We're going to do exegetical. We're going to take it straight from God's Word. I'm not going to come up with the points. God's got it ready here for you. And it's verse 5. Paul starts off with great encouragement. In verse 4, he says, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. Verse 5, why? Because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. The first characteristic, the first thing of a forgiver's heart is your faith in the Lord Jesus. Because I heard about your love for your holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. Paul had the basis for his praying on behalf of Philemon. And he tells us two things that encouraged him in his continued prayer for him, for his brother. Hearing your faith. Paul was continually hearing about Philemon's faith of Jesus Christ. Commentators say and suggest that it could have been that Paul was receiving up-to-date information about Philemon from more than one source, or that he was getting regular reports about how Philemon was progressing in his faith. You see, Paul had a vested interest, and we saw this last week, in Philemon. You see, Philemon came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior under Paul's ministry. And we see that in verse 19. Most likely in Ephesus, 2 years prior to this letter. And the fact that Philemon was a Christian is very important. He trusted Jesus Christ to forgive his sins, so that he could be reconciled to God. And therefore, and this is such an important point to remember, Philemon's ability to forgive stemmed from the forgiveness that he himself had received when he placed his faith in Christ. Katie opened up with the verse, while we were yet sinners, Christ demonstrated his love for us, that he sent his only son. Think about that. Isaiah 43:25 says this, I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. That's a powerful statement. A holy God, an all-knowing God, an all-powerful God, an all-present God. Because of the work of Jesus Christ, does not see you and I in our sins. He sees the work of Jesus Christ. You see, God is omniscient. He can never forget. And what he means is that he will not remember them against us anymore. And because of that, we are to do Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and that's this. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. When we look at Philemon, the owner of this slave, who did no wrong, but his slave stole from him, ran away, now he's coming back. Can we who have been forgiven so much not forgive relatively small things done against us? That's the message. That's the message Paul was trying to share with Philemon. Because of our sins, our Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, paid a price, separated from the Father because of our sins. We were forgiven much. The question I leave with you is, can we forgive those who have done wrong against us? Philemon's ability to forgive stemmed from the forgiveness that he himself had personally received from Jesus Christ. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that should cause a stirring in your heart right there. The second thing we see about a forgiver's heart, a forgiving heart, is your love for all his people. Look at what it says. Because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. So the first thing was your faith in the Lord Jesus, but your love for all the holy people. This is the second characteristic that Paul was trying to bring out to Philemon that caused Paul to be thankful in his prayer about Philemon's continual love for all the saints. You see, Philemon demonstrated a love that only could come from outside of himself. You've been there before. Sometimes it's tough loving people that are hard to love. And we can't do it on our own strength. And it's only because of God's love for us and his love working through us that we can do that. J.I. Packer writes this. Agape draws its meaning directly from the revelation of God in Christ. It's not a form of natural affection. However, it's intense, but it's a supernatural fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5:22. It is a matter of will rather than feelings. For Christians must love even those they dislike. And we see that, he says, and we see it in Scripture, Matthew chapter 5. If you look at it, verses 44 to 48, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. It's a basic element in Christlikeness. And all this was going through my head as I'm delivering this funeral message. And the Lord kept saying, have you forgiven them? Have you forgiven them? Have you forgiven them? 1 Corinthians 13. It's known as the love passage. It gets used quite a bit. But love is patient. We must not make impatient demands, but allow people to grow at their own pace. Love is kind. We must be gentle, sensitive to the needs of others. Love is not jealous. That is a concern for others' best, despite my own circumstances. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Selfishness, no time for self-exaltation. Love does not act unbecomingly. Love does not seek its own. It's not about me and it's not about my feelings. It's about God's glory. Love is not provoked. A hostile situation is when a Christian's love is most glorious displayed. If somebody lets off on you and just goes and tears a strip off of you, how do you respond? Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. There are no lists. Praise God, He does not keep a list on each one of us. Love rejoices with the truth. We want to be obedient to the Word of God. Love bears all things and believes all things. There is no limit to our forgiveness. And we're going to walk through this over the next month and a bit. And I would really encourage you to start digging into God's Word, asking Him, what does He have for you today? What does He have for you to learn? What does He have for you to apply? Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Any situation, no matter how long or difficult, a Christian's love can endure. So practically speaking, are you so focused on Christ? And in addition to Christ, the spiritual growth of your brothers and sisters around you, that you have no time to think about yourself. Because Satan always wants to put end to us, my rights have been violated. My pride has been tarnished. Paul heard of Philemon's agape love, his love for the brothers, the holy people. It wasn't just for a select few, but for all the saints. Regardless of who they were or what they've done, and Paul is appealing to that. His love was not based on conditions that needed to be met. It was free and unlimited. And Paul was encouraging him to extend even that to a thief and a runaway slave. What's the third thing we see? If you will, go to verse 6. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. That you may be active. Another piece of the forgiving heart. Some translations you might even have in there, a demonstrated or evident or apparent. Okay? That our faith may be apparent. Koinonia, communion, fellowship, participation, sharing with one another. And when Paul starts using this, he's referring to the relationship of faith to Christ. We have a common Lord. We have a common Savior. We have the same God. And this is what Paul is appealing to. Because this is a powerful story. Because Paul could have, or Philemon could have made it really easy and just put him to death. And he had all right to do so. When we talk about koinonia, and Paul talks about it in Scripture, here's some things you can write down, some verses you can write down if you want to, but Paul's talking about it in 1 Corinthians 1:9 about the fellowship of his Son. 2 Corinthians 13:13, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. You see, we have the same Lord. We have the same Savior. The same Spirit moves in all of us. Philippians 1:5 talks about fellowship in the gospel. When we come together on Sunday mornings, when we get together with brothers and sisters and have fellowship, koinonia. Sharing the life in Christ. Fellowship of your faith. In other words, his fellowship with others that Paul was pointing out sprung forth from Philemon's personal faith in Jesus Christ. It was something that just poured out because of his relationship with Jesus Christ. He could do this with brothers and sisters. Philemon's concern for fellowship was to be a powerful demonstration to the Colossian church. Onesimus returns now as a believer. They have fellowship with one another. And that fellowship was going to be upheld through Onesimus' request of forgiveness. And Philemon's response in granting forgiveness. You can see the picture that's being painted here. You see, denying Onesimus' request was not an option. The message for us, for a true believer in Jesus Christ, denying forgiveness is an impossibility. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, denying forgiveness is an impossibility. When you are demonstrating a concern for fellowship with other Christians, there's no room for unforgiveness. Because fellowship, by its definition, is coming together, mutually sharing of Christ's likeness. That's what it means biblically. We're coming together. Red and yellow, black and white, we're all different. We're tall, we're short, we think differently, we have different opinion. But when we come together because of Jesus Christ, because of God. Philemon's concern for demonstrating fellowship and reconciliation was based upon the knowledge of the truth that he'd been taught. Paul had taught him. Philemon not only learned of the command to forgive, but he had also experienced it when he came to Christ himself. You see, the ability to forgive was inside him because the Holy Spirit was inside of him. Maintaining and demonstrating fellowship with other believers is at the core of a forgiving heart. Philemon was going to be a powerful example, as we saw last week, to his wife, which she gets mentioned, and his son, and to those in the church. As he forgave Onesimus. This doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean that he's no longer physically a slave. Look at verse 7. This is the powerful thing of a forgiving heart. It's what the world is waiting for. It's what you and I are waiting for from each other and from ourselves. It's what the world wants to see. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. You see, Paul was in prison, but he experienced much delight and comfort in Philemon's love. Why was that? Because he was a blessing to others. You refresh the hearts of the Lord's people. You see that in verse 7 again. You see it in verse 12 in this small book. I am sending him who is my very heart back to you. Verse 20. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefits from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. The refreshment that we receive when we come before Christ should be similar to the refreshment others receive when they're in our presence. Philemon was a man who hosted the Colossian church in his home. He had tremendous faith in Christ, unconditional love for the believers in his church. It was a continually demonstrating fellowship in the local assembly. He was a refreshment to those all around him. The world was seeing something different. The people in the church were seeing something different. And that was, he had the heart of a forgiver. As I quoted earlier, C.S. Lewis says this, everyone thinks forgiveness is a lovely idea until he has something to forgive. As you and I take on these characteristics, as we think about what a forgiver's heart looks like, which are demonstrated by Philemon, my prayer is this for all of us, including myself, that when the time comes, and it will, and it comes for each one of us differently, some of us may go home and ask our partner or our kids to forgive because something was a rush to get us here this morning. So I'm confident when the time comes that you and I will do what Jesus has told us. In Matthew 18, verse 35, Jesus says this, I will forgive you from my heart. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. As we think about this, my encouragement is to dwell upon it, chew on it this week, as we move forward and learn what Philemon has for us on forgiveness and reconciliation. Let me just pray as a call forward the worship team and the elders. If any of you would like prayer, please come up afterwards. We would love to pray with you as well. Lord, just thank you. We thank you for your word and what it has for us. Lord, it's application time in every single one of our lives. We run across people that we need to forgive. We run across people that we need to ask for forgiveness. Lord, these are tough times. These are tough things. Some of them are easier than others. Lord, may you just speak to us. May we hear your words for us. May you open up our eyes and our ears and our heart, and may we apply it because of what you have done for us, Lord. Thank you much. And I just pray and ask things in your name. Amen.